Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to what is the worst episode of the Macko and Cause podcast, and I will explain in a second. But first, hey, Bob, how you doing?
Matthew, I was about to say I'm fine, but since you're here and you can see me, you know that's a lie.
Yeah.
Got a bit of a cold, buddy.
You got your I'm sick outfit on. You got pajama pants, and it's 11:34.
It's true. I'm wearing a cardigan, my Jacksonville Jaguars toque.
Yeah, which might be making you more sick.
It's true. It's true. I may drop this mic. Yeah. And not because I think the pod's good. Drop it.
Yeah, or you're going to one-hop it to the receiver.
There's the joke.
Yeah.
Thank you. I had to admit, I think that nothing phases you now, nothing shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look, it's a 1-800 number calling my house.
See, this is the worst. And I'm going to explain why this is the worst episode.
Okay, good. Just explain. I'm sick. I got nothing to say.
Okay.
All my questions are basically going to be, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, what do you think? Okay. Have you ever been to a 100th birthday party?
No.
Okay. I have. A bunch of years ago, my grandmother on my dad's side, Alberta, she turned 100. So we all went to the home she was staying at, and it was great. There was tons of family, friends, everyone. You get big cakes, lots of presents. You get a letter from like the prime minister or the premier of Ontario. I think you even get something from royalty, like the monarchy thing. You get it all. It's great. The 100th birthday is awesome. You know what sucks? The 101st birthday. Now, technically, that is a far greater accomplishment. You've managed to stay on this little blue earth for another 365 days. And you know what you get from that? You get a text. You get a phone call. You get a crappy Hallmark. You get a, I'd like to have been there, but, you know, kids got baseball practice, so you can't. And this is the 101st episode of the Macko and Cause podcast, and the drop-off in quality of the birthday party from 100 to the 101st is staggering.
So you go from balloons and ponies in the backyard to basically phone call, or maybe like one of those crappy messages that you press the button and it plays back. Like not even a phone message, but just one of those voice texts.
Yeah.
That's a good point. It feels like every birthday after 90 should be a huge party.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you can make it to 90, which I think is now the new crazy number to hit.
Yeah.
Because when you see, like, celebrities die and they're 85, you don't go, wow, how'd that happen? And, you know.
Yeah, it feels
like 90 is the new barrier for, wow, how'd that happen?
It's not like in the 60s when William Holden would die at 65 because of, you know, booze and he hit his head on a coffee table. Yeah, everyone died a lot younger then. But, yeah, 101 is like, hey, there you go. All right, there you go. Good for you. You know, and that's it, even though it should be a bigger one.
We could call this the Dalmatian edition.
Ooh, I like it.
101 Dalmatians.
101 Dalmatians.
I got nothing. I really don't. I can't. Yeah, I know. I can't not talk.
Yeah.
Because
this would be a really uncomfortable podcast.
It really would be the
worst.
Hold
on, wait a minute. Then the podcast would be 43 minutes of silence. Then we talk about Jeff Pollock and Seat Giant. Then it's silent. And then it's you go, ch-ch-ch-ca. And that would be the podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
It'd be like a Yoko Ono thing, you know, when you don't have talent, so you got to do something.
So we have a lot to get to, actually.
Do we? Just a second ago, you got nothing.
We do. I want to talk about packing because I've got my trip coming up in 2 days.
Yep.
You want to talk about milkshakes and climate change.
Milkshakes and climate change. Yep.
I've got some football questions for you because even on a good week, I don't care what I think about football. Mm-hmm. So we should just when we were going to start our radio show, we were going to have a segment called Matt Cause Talks About Football.
Yeah.
Or Matt or Cause on the NFL, something
whatever,
like that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Wait, we couldn't have done that, Bob. There was no alliteration. You're not allowed to title something in radio unless there is an alliteration.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we need to think of something for you then.
Yeah.
Leafs, Raptors, all that stuff.
Grey
obviously.
Cup. Everyone is so thirsting for hot Grey Cup talk.
Well, we'll get to that. I got a football roundup. I thought we could toss it into that. But is there anywhere you want to start? You are clearly driving today's episode.
Okay.
So where do you want to start?
All right. Let's start with cold and then we go to hot. Milkshakes. So I was at a diner yesterday in Prince Edward County. And this is your classic. This isn't even fancy diner. This is where the locals go to. You know, there's no great design for it. Just very simple. This is where you go for your turkey club, your coffee, and your hamburger.
So it was a diner as opposed to a place that is self-referentially a diner.
Ding, ding, ding. And I was driving by it, and I had an hour to kill, and I had to get some food, and I saw it. And I'm like, I'm going in there. You know, and I walked in, and everyone kind of looked at me because, you know, I'm the one who doesn't live in the area. It's great. So I got the I got the chicken salad club, the potato and bacon soup. It was delicious. It was hearty. But you know what they also had on the list? They had milkshakes. I'm like, this looks like a place that's going to get you could get a good milkshake.
Did they have a picture of it?
They didn't. They just wrote on chalk, milkshakes, colon, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. That was it. And I tried to get the strawberry and I gave them the vanilla. Anyway, here's the point. I've realized a couple tenets in my life when it comes to milkshakes.
Okay.
One, there are only three flavors, chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. If you want to add a tiny bit of spice where you blend in, like, say, a little bit of mint, fine. Beyond that, I don't want any other flavor, okay? All your other fancy mint, chocolate, Oreo, get the bleep out of here. Milkshakes should only be three flavors. And I'm covered because one's black and one is white. So in 2018, when it's divisive, I'm trying to be inclusive, but I can only be so much inclusive. And then there's the other part, Bob. You know what makes a great milkshake? Not just the flavor of the real ice cream. It's the metal container. She brought over the glass with, you know, the glass filled with a milkshake. And then the metal container. And she's like, yeah, there's a little extra in there. Oh, is there anything better? I don't think I can drink a milkshake again unless I am promised that I've got that little bit extra. It's like at the end of a Marvel movie, waiting for the credits to end, and suddenly there's Thanos, and he's having a thumb war with Samuel L. Jackson. It's delightful.
All right, so I want to answer this. So remind me at the end of this milkshake segment to come back to a point I wanted to make.
Okay.
Okay, I don't want to sidebar it right now.
Okay, okay.
The steel cup is a great point. Oh. The metal cup, it's a great point. And even water, even if you have cold water that you bring with you somewhere, if you're drinking it out of one of those metal bottles as opposed to a plastic bottle, I don't know why. It just tastes better.
Just tastes
fresher.
Better.
Fresher. There's a ting of health to it.
Yep.
At least there is with the water. The milkshake's a great point. I don't know exactly... I think where people go wrong with it is because it becomes too liquidy or too thick.
Yeah.
Because you don't want one of those McFreezes necessarily. That's not a bad thing.
McFlurry.
McFlurry. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a bad thing, but it's a different thing.
Yes.
A milkshake needs to find that perfect consistency point. How is this one on consistency?
It was great, Bob. And there's no double entendres or sexual things here. You had to suck. You don't have to suck.
It's impossible not to have a double entendre.
You've got to suck, but you don't have to suck too hard.
Just because you say you don't want one doesn't mean there isn't one.
Just the right amount of sucking. And as someone who has sucked off milkshakes here, and the vanilla, the frothy vanilla, the perfect consistency. By the way, frothy, just such a dirty word.
Frothy's not so bad. My album of the day, because every day on Twitter I put
sticky
out an
fingers.
Album. Sticky Fingers. Sticky is a disgusting word.
Moist is more.
The worst of them all. Moist, sticky, frothy. I think that's the gold, silver, bronze of not necessarily dirty, but kind of irretrievably dirty words.
Panty. Another dirty word.
Yeah, panty's pretty bad.
Anyway, perfect consistency. You know, and the great thing was I originally ordered strawberry, and she's like, we only got the cheap strawberry sauce. So, nope. She's like, I can whip you up a really good vanilla one. And I just realized I don't need any other flavors. Don't go too fancy. Just do simple well.
I think that the idea of the dinner dessert has been sadly undervalued in this generation. That when you go out and eat, the dessert at the end of the meal is so important. I know people do it. They still do it. But it's not like the diner where you'd go and you'd have a banana split or a sundae.
This place had coconut cream pie.
Did they really?
They
see, that's my point, right? Yeah. The best thing about diners, well, there's a million good things about diners. Breakfast is great.
Yep.
Burger and fries, the gravy,
everything.
Open face sandwiches. Like, you could just go on forever about diners.
Yeah.
Even though right now I'm hanging on by a limb, my mouth is still watering, kind of a dirty word, at the very idea of the diner. But dessert for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Whipped cream.
There was the joy of whipped cream. There was the little dollop of whipped cream on top. It was a perfect milkshake, and I immediately felt good after they arrived. But I think I'm not going to have to ask. Do I get the little metal container with some extra milkshake? Because if not, I don't know if I'm going to order it.
Okay, so there's some sports we want to get to in a second. But before we do, there was something I wanted to address, but I didn't want to derail your conversation.
Okay.
So as I've mentioned 75 times, because I'm that guy, I'm a little under the weather.
Yep.
So I spent half of Matt's soliloquy on milkshakes kind of just staring down. And I looked up, and your arms were waving, and you were staring at me. And I realized he's not even talking to me. He's just excited to be talking. Your arms were flailing everywhere. And I was giving you nothing in return.
That's okay.
No feedback whatsoever.
Yeah.
So there was no give and take here.
No, there wasn't.
And you were just giving her.
Plowing ahead.
Given without take.
Yep. Just plowing ahead with my milkshake.
So excited.
Hot takes.
Like you've been waiting to talk about this for a whole day.
Yeah. As I was drinking this delicious milkshake, I'm like, I got to bring this up on Macko and Cause tomorrow.
It's true. And it's the right place to do it. So let's talk about the Leafs, because they wind up beating Boston last night by a couple. And you know what? Both teams didn't have their best player in.
Nope.
And that kind of reframes it, because you know when Bergeron is in there, that top line is different. We've seen how that top line just historically drives the Leafs nuts.
Yep.
But I still think it doesn't matter, because anytime you beat Boston, you've got to allow yourself to feel good about it.
And they did it without the best 5-on-5 goal scorer over the last 2.5 years.
Right. Of course, they did it without the best two-way player in, you know, modern history, probably, in Patrice Bergeron. But, you know, tisket a tasket.
Yep.
What I wanted to ask you about, though, is until the Nylander thing happens, is it possible to have a conversation about the Leafs that doesn't ultimately feel like you should be talking about Nylander?
No, because... because maybe you could have done it. But then David Pastrnak scored twice.
Right.
And you're like, hey, stop it. Okay? And even though Pastrnak said, I'm very happy with the amount of money I'm making, which always feeds into the people that go, greedy Nylander. Look, Pastrnak's happy with 6 point whatever and all that kind of thing. No, when Pastrnak starts scoring, your brain immediately after you're done silently swearing, you go to Nylander.
I watched yesterday's game and I realized everything was 1 degree of separation from William Nylander.
Yeah.
And I think it just shows how effectively the media can reprogram our brains.
Yep.
Like Ron Hainsey loses track of Pastrnak off of the face off. Next thing you know, he breaks in, he cuts through, nice goal. And you think, man, the right side of our defense is really porous at times. And you think, well, we need to upgrade it. Well, we need some assets. Well, we have William Nylander.
Trade him.
So Hainsey lets his man get free. And I'm thinking to myself, Nylander.
Yep. It's so true.
Who's watching the game probably online from Sweden?
Yeah. I make 3 reds in a row. Nylander. You know, I blame him for everything. You know, Jar Jar Binks, Nylander, you jerk. And man, like just...
if we were still on the air and we were paid to do this and we had time to think about stuff, we would have done a bit like, what does this have to do with William Nylander?
Oh yeah, everything in the news.
But Jar Jar Binks is a good example.
Yeah, the GM plants tragically closing in Oshawa. Somehow that's William Nylander's fault. Or, you know what, Nylander? You know, could use money? All the people losing their jobs. But you're wanting $7 million. Yeah, we'd find a way. 100%.
It feels like whenever you see the insiders start to sort of say, they're not saying a deal is imminent, but they've got to hedge bets, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't want to look like they had no idea what was coming.
Yeah.
So even if they know it's coming, until they're absolutely sure, like they're reporting on it, they've got to hedge bets. But watching insider trading last night and the quiz and all that stuff, you could kind of feel like everyone's like, feels like it could be a bridge deal.
Yeah.
Feels like it could be a deal.
I'm expecting some point, like during the quiz yesterday when they threw out the Nylander question, for Bob McKenzie to stand up and grab a katana blade and go that stereotypical, Japanese suicide with honor, where he just took the katana blade and just, instead of answering the question, just plunge it into his heart as he says, oh, sweet relief, no more Nylander talk.
Take one of those Winnipeg Jets, like, playoff towels that you wave around, just tie it just around his head, bandana style.
And just like, I'm not answering this anymore. Or you know, it'd be better if McKenzie pulled out a wheel and it had bridge, long term, trade, do nothing. And every time they ask him, he doesn't say a word, he spins it, and wherever it lands, he just points.
Well, they did have the monkey. Once upon a time, they did have the monkey.
I bring the monkey back.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I had a couple questions about hockey that I thought. Maybe it's the cold talking, maybe it's the meds, maybe who knows. But
yeah,
some weird thoughts. Because I was thinking about, like, Freddie Anderson was really good again last night.
He was great. 38 saves.
Yeah, and he sees a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And he saw a lot of shots last year. And fatigue is an issue. And we know who Mike Babcock is. Garrett Sparks, you're 4-1. Don't care. Yeah. I'm here to win as many games as possible. And when we talk about how important it is not to finish third in the division, you know, there's some logic to it because we've been burned by it before. Yeah. Winning division is actually important.
Yep.
So I started thinking, why do goalies play the whole game? In other sports, your key players almost never play the whole game. Like a starting NFL quarterback plays the whole game, unless it's a route. And then towards the end of, like, say, the fourth quarter, you'll pull him and give the backup some reps.
Unless it's Peyton Manning, that greedy son of a bitch.
Okay, fair enough.
But no, you right? You know, like, I've never thought of this.
Like, our star players, like Kawhi Leonard, he gets rested from game to game, that's fine. But if the fourth quarter is a rout, you don't throw your starters out there.
No.
Like, and you know, your starting pitcher is up. And maybe, you know, if he's having a great game, you might leave him in. But if he's having a pretty good game and you're up by big, you know, you pull him.
Yeah.
Everybody protects their stars, and every sport has some version of, we're up big, we got to sit this guy. But they never do it with goalies, and I wonder why.
I guess the point is, look at the third period Toronto-Boston many years ago.
Yeah, 4-1.
4-1.
Right. May or may not have happened in Boston.
Yeah, I think people point to that, because in hockey, you put the, I guess the reasons would be you put the backup could come in cold and maybe everyone's in a rhythm. And if you're up by three, bang, bang, now you're only up by one.
Okay, so I thought that in my brain.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, statistically, if you're up by three goals in the third period, how many comebacks? I'd be curious to find out. And if you're a part of the stats community, this is probably easy to find out.
Yeah.
How many times does a team come back from three down to start the third? I mean, we know there's a 65% chance of winning if you just score the first goal of the game. There could be 59 more minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
So if a goalie's getting shelled, he gets pulled. Why don't both goalies get pulled? Because the game's over and everybody knows it. I suppose there's the one in a million chance that, you know, something could happen.
Yeah.
But it's not even like, but hockey isn't even like soccer where if you pull somebody, you can't put them back in.
Yeah.
If you were up 4-1, all of a sudden it's 4-3 and there's 3 minutes left and you don't have faith in the backup, put starter back in.
I think the problem is that goalies have never done this. So, they're weird fellas, and just get out of rhythm. And hockey's still a pretty traditional sport. The concept, like the overall overarching idea, makes sense. But you know what? I'm gonna quote. I heard a funny line from Dennis Miller, who was on Jimmy Kimmel, where they were talking about the fact that Dennis Miller is a comedian, yet his right wing, and Dennis Miller said, listen, liberalism reminds me of a nude beach. It's a great idea until you're actually there. This idea is a great idea, but I think in execution, I think the goaltenders, their heads would blow up.
Maybe, but we've heard the same thing about starting pitchers and how important their routine is. And this idea that somehow closers could start.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know in baseball, statistically, the first inning is the one where you're most likely to give up runs. And that's because you know for sure you're facing three of the best hitters. Guaranteed, because it's 1-2-3, they start the game. It's not any magic. It's just you're guaranteed to see those three good hitters first.
Yep.
So it's mostly, how many times have you heard someone say he's good if he gets out of the first inning?
Yeah. Oh,
well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
You're guaranteed to see three good hitters.
How about this? If it's games like the Philly game,
where the one you're on up the
by 4-0,
right?
I would dip my toe in that idea.
Right.
I would dip my toe.
So, and it was,
but that would be a horrible one because then Mike Babcock's like, I get to play Anderson more. Get out of here, Sparks. You played too many minutes already.
You know, the other thing that I was thinking, and there's a lot of reasons, there's probably more reasons not to do this, but I was thinking about subs and how in soccer you're allowed three substitutions over the course of a game. Player goes in, another one comes out. And it's really interesting tactically to see how the adjustments are made by a soccer coach in game.
Yeah.
You don't really have that in hockey. Like every other sport, you know, there's, you know, particularly I would say baseball, there's matchup issues and you just try to maximize them as best as possible. I was reading an article the other day about how maybe it's time to send Ozhiganov down, let him get some reps, some minutes, just whatever it is, and bring Justin Hall up for a look.
Sure.
I thought, okay, well, Ozhiganov's actually, you know, I think it's three games in a row he has a point.
Got a goal. Of course, a lot of that was Marner. Oh, we'll get to Marner in a moment.
I know, we will. So anyway, I was just thinking again, like my idea of what if there were two subs that you were allowed to bring onto any game, and once, and you know, in between periods, you're allowed to make changes. So you're allowed two substitution points at the intermission points. And maybe if Hall was in the, you know, this would be a big decision. Do you bring him or do you want him to play with the Marlies and get tons of reps? Maybe you do this with a veteran or something. But anyway, just this idea of like, whoever you start finishes the game. Wouldn't hockey be more interesting? Imagine how much more we would talk about if there were substitutions in game.
That'd be great. It'll never happen.
Never happen.
Never happen.
But never happen.
But it's a great idea. And it'd be good for the Twitter when I tweet out like the links for this podcast. Is it time to pull goal, you know, like just pull winning goals? I'll find a way to work it in. People get angry. Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Here's what I can say about him.
Okay.
He makes tracking zone entries cool.
I saw that tweet you put out and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I get excited when I see that he's like, oh, 7 or 8 zone entries. Ooh, that's a lot.
Bob, I believe he had 10 MFN zone. Anyway, because they were talking about it and he was great. 3 assists. Damn, he looked good. But then, you know, they were talking about after the game. And it's like anything. Eventually, different vernacular works its way in. No one talked about war in baseball 10 years ago. Now we use it all over the place. Same thing with Corsi, possession. It just takes time.
As opposed to plus minus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And hits and things like that.
And it's the same kind of thing. The mainstream media takes a little while to get into it, just like a lot of fan bases do. Then you've got the younger analytics community, and they get on their high horse. And at first they go, come on, old men, grow with the times. And then when the mainstream media uses it, they go, it's about time. Very snarky, yeah, analytics people. Come on, give old people. It takes a little time for us to figure stuff out. But... You know,
it also runs contrary to the way most of us were brought up to watch hockey, which is dump and chase, chip and chase, you know, throw it down low, try to recover it, win those puck battles. You know, the idea of a controlled zone entry, it's not that anyone was necessarily against it, but it was reserved for the ultra elite.
Yeah.
And when it happened, you'd be like, ooh. But then also think about what was prized for hockey during most of that time. The kinds of forwards that could go and win the battles in the corners because you chipped and chased, because you dumped down low, you know?
You get the Legion of Boom out there.
100%.
Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom. Well, you know, it sounded good either.
Man. Yeah.
But my point being, this is all part of a bigger change, right? Of course, zone entries didn't make as much sense before controlled ones because you had guys who were big and plodding out there and weren't as capable of executing them.
Everyone's younger, faster, more skilled.
And speaking of which, you know, like Tyler Ennis out there is making a pretty good case for when Nylander and Matthews are back. Maybe you keep them and you put them on the wing. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to drop down. So, you know.
If Nylander comes back.
He's coming back.
Uh-huh.
It'll be a bridge deal.
Uh-huh.
I thought Bob McKenzie's point about how hard it would be to turn down something in the vicinity of 7 over 6 years once you're looking at it.
Yep.
Versus coming back and playing for 5 a year.
Yep.
For a couple. Everybody says, why don't you gamble on yourself? You know, $42 million is not a bad consolation prize.
It really isn't, guaranteed. Bob. Really isn't, but greedy Willie. Anyway.
I haven't agreed with Don. Actually, I haven't watched Don Cherry in a really long time. But I saw on Twitter that he was making the point. I'm going to assume this is accurate because I only got this secondhand. But that Marner's start must be in Nylander's head. I guess Cherry made that point. It's not a crazy point to make. You would think so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's got a lot to come back and prove because, as you say, Marner is just, he's not just dominating. He's so much damn fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's got, look at his career points against the Bruins. It's really impressive. He's scoring at a higher clip against Boston than David Pastrnak is against the Maple Leafs, as crazy as that might sound. By the way,
Marner is making a push to be in the top 15 best players in the league.
He is right now.
He is definitely making that push. Mm-hmm. His ice time is up. His primary assist rate is insane.
Again, another thing that we didn't talk about that much. Primary assist rate and zone entries. It's not that Marner is the only guy responsible, but around these parts, he's certainly opening more people's eyes to those stats.
In fairness, Matt, and you're right, it is sort of new, but I will say it was only a few pods ago you and I were debating the stretch pass versus controlled zone exits and
entries.
Oh,
I love the stretch pass.
I know.
Love it.
I know. But you love it for the wrong reasons.
I know.
Right?
I'm aware of that. I admitted that on the last one.
You did, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The over-reliance on it is not necessarily productive.
Mm-hmm.
But they're fun when they work.
Yes. Question for you.
Yeah.
You mentioned Don Cherry.
Yeah.
I always get confused when Don Cherry says some unpopular hockey opinion and everyone freaks out. Same thing with Brian Burke recently. Hates the Carolina Hurricanes celebrations. I think the celebrations are great. They're awesome. I think most people do. But I'm always amazed by the time and energy and negative space that people will write stuff attacking Burke or Don Cherry. A, it's their opinion. B, what do you expect them to say? Like, that's just who they are. It's like the famous Chris Rock line. Don't get angry at that tiger for mauling the magician in
Vegas. The tiger didn't go crazy. The tiger went tiger.
And it always amazes me. This, you see this on social media all the time. Like, it's so predictable. Brian Burke rips the Carolina Hurricanes. Then everyone under 35 rips Brian Burke. And my point is, A, you're not going to sway Brian Burke. B, why do you care about what Brian Burke thinks when it comes to Dougie Hamilton doing the floss dance after the Hurricanes have won a game? That mindset confuses me.
Okay, so I'm watching on Twitter yesterday the press conference that the Unifor union gave after the after the shutdown.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a shutdown, but the unallocation
of
the Oshawa plant.
Ugh.
And at the end he said, it's our responsibility to go in there, you know, make the best damn cars and trucks that we can.
Yeah.
Go home tonight, feed your kids, love your family, take them to hockey, come back tomorrow. I'm literally quoting here.
Oh, I remember.
But, right?
Yes, that you're almost word for word.
You know, and I sat there and, you know, I didn't want to chuckle in the moment because it was a pretty, you know, desperate thing
you know,
for a community, right? But at the same time, I was like, one of these things doesn't belong here,
mm-hmm.
right? But the whole idea was I'm painting a picture of normalcy.
Yeah.
And in my picture of normalcy, children go and play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this sort of rousing the spirit moment.
Yeah.
And that's why I think people get upset with the idea of hot dogging. It's this sort of hockey is the fabric and part of the texture of our community talk,
mm-hmm.
which I find to be bullshit personally.
Yeah. Yeah. But my point is like what Burke and Don Cherry, a lot of things they say, it's predictable. You know, it's coming ahead of time. So then why do people expend any energy ripping Burke or Don Cherry? It's like getting angry at Jason Voorhees for stabbing that swimmer. That's what he does. You know, it's like why do you feel the, I guess it goes down to, why do you feel the need to comment on everything, especially things that are so predictable?
Yeah, I don't know. People just like that stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
You know? And people like to be angry. We've talked about this many times.
They do. They really do.
You know, I've been under the weather the last few days. I don't know if I've mentioned that, but I've been listening to a lot of pods.
Yep.
Because they chew up the time. Pods are a great innings eater.
Yeah.
When you don't feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good. Man, everything's depressing. Just everything's depressing
if
right now.
If you choose for it to be.
I guess so. I wanted to ask you, what are some pods that aren't going to make me sad or afraid?
Let me get back to you. Just again, the gap between like the life expectancy of planet Earth has never been better. The number of people globally, it's not just like in Southern Ontario, that are middle class has never been higher. Yes, there's a lot of horrible things, but globally, there's also, it's never been a better time to be alive. And it's easier as a 43-year-old, you know, middle-class or upper-middle-class white guy. I know it's easier for me to say that than maybe some people are listening. But still, on a general level, man, things are better now. I heard of this one podcast, the worst year ever. It was like in, it might have been like in 500, or you know, like a long time ago, where like Europe was covered in like a fog, like a giant bog for like 18 months. You know, like it's better today than it was then.
Actually, there was an explosion, a volcanic explosion. I think it might have been Mount Etna, but maybe not. Anyway, It happened in the early 1900s, and literally everything was covered in a gray gloom for like an entire year, more or less.
Yeah.
And in the summer, a lot of people left England and sort of went a little bit south, including Mary Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during that summer that Frankenstein was written. And historians have often pointed to this as a sort of really gloomy, miserable time.
Yeah.
That really contributed to the overall aura of doom that she harnessed to turn in Frankenstein or the modern Prometheus, probably the greatest horror story ever told.
And think about this, Bob. In 1900, Mount Etna bilged up, bellowed out all this horrible soot and ash. Now in 2018, Mount Etna, a hot area for great wine. Good high altitude.
Because of that very same volcanic ash.
The volcanic ash. Absolutely. So you see, Bob, 2018. Pretty damn good.
All right. So now let me talk about something that worries me.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
He's now good enough and been here long enough. He's played in 15 of 21 games for the Raptors. He's great.
Yeah.
There are questions about, remember, and I even said this to you, the offense may not be a flowing offense if he's out there. He tends to be a bit of a ball stopper, mm-hmm. and we do see that at times.
Yep.
And, you know, the ISO ball drives certain people nuts. I can understand it, but then again, I kind of understood it when DeMar did it, and Kawhi's probably better at it. But anyway, my point is this. It would be great to see him be a part of the Raptors moving forward.
Yes.
This is what made me nervous. As I woke up this morning and I flipped on my sports page on my computer, do you know who sits atop the Western Conference? It's a bit of a shocking answer. It's not the Warriors.
No, no. Is it still the Clippers?
It's the Clippers. The LA Clippers at 13-6 are the number one team in the Western Conference.
Bob.
I don't think Kawhi is going to go play for the Lakers. I guess it's possible, but you can make a case why he's not.
He's not going to play for the
Lakers. But you could see him going to want to be the guy with the Clippers. Yep. And if they can just pick him up without giving up any assets. Mm-hmm.
Now, I look at the LA Clippers record the same way that Obi-Wan Kenobi viewed the Death Star. It's like, that's no moon, that's a Death Star. He could see way out in the distance that what was not.
Right.
I worked hard for that analogy. Still wasn't a great one, but I just wanted to say the line.
But you erred on the side of the angels because it was a Star Wars stretch.
Yeah, exactly.
You stretched for Star Wars.
It's lovely what's going on with the Clippers. I don't think it's going to last, but I see what you're saying. It's like, damn, look how well they're playing in the West without a star. Now put me there, and Steve Ballmer will give me everything. Everything. Like in, you know, The Professional? When Gary Oldman says, "Give me everyone," and then one of his flunkies goes, "Everyone," and Gary Oldman goes, "Everyone." That is Steve Ballmer with what he will do to get Kawhi Leonard.
So doesn't that mean that it is a frightening thing, the fact that you see the Death Star not a moon?
Yeah.
Everyone sees it as a moon.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. But in actual fact, it really was a concealed Death Star.
Unless eventually they go back to like and end up 38-43.
Right.
44.
You think the record's going to fall apart. I'm not sure it necessarily is. Mm-hmm. I expect that the Warriors are going to pull their act together and be the best team in the West again.
Yeah.
I expect that. You know, Green, Durant, notwithstanding. You know, they lost four in a row for the first time under Steve Kerr. All of this, you know, it was bound to happen eventually.
Yeah.
But no one thinks they're not the best team in basketball. Right?
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't mean that LA is not the second best team, though. You know, are they better than Denver? I don't know. Maybe. Are they better than Portland? Maybe.
Maybe. Utah slumping. Houston is a head scratcher.
Harden had 54 the other night. No one cares because nobody believes in the team anymore.
Nope. Also the most boring team to watch. It's one thing I learned last year. Houston was just a lot of, that was ISO ball, but that was just ISO three ball done to perfection. It's a good point that we're always going to be looking at where are the biggest rivals to going and grabbing Kawhi Leonard. It's the best reason why the Raptors need to win as many games as they can. And
they need to treat him like gold.
They are.
Popovich says he's not a leader.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
But here's the thing. I love how that became. And of course, all the young people go, "Screw you, Popovich. You're an old man. No one likes you." He might have been right. Maybe Kawhi at that point didn't need to be a leader. You had Duncan and all these older veterans.
Do you know who it reminded me of? Oh, and he actually said it was Parker and Ginobili who stepped in that gap. Well, Parker and Ginobili are Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like there was some bum down at the end of the bench. You know, it's not like Matt Bonner had to keep this team together, the Brian Scalabrine effect.
Yeah.
I will say it reminded me of Carlos Delgado. Do you remember how this city would turn itself into freaking ribbons and pretzels over whether or not Delgado was a true leader or not?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? He's a 500 home run guy. Like, he was a great guy. And he liked to have fun. Yeah. And he didn't necessarily want to be the guy to put someone up against the locker because they were slacking off.
Yeah. And Popovich never said he was a bad person. I mean, here's how Kawhi was a great leader. He was a damn good player. He was dedicated to his craft. That's a great form of leadership. What Popovich is talking about was, you know, there's older vets, Hall of Famers, and let's face it, there's blood on both sides of that divorce. And, you know, Kawhi could have handled things better. The Spurs could have handled things better. But when Popovich said it, I'm like, no big deal. Must have been a Wednesday when that quote was out there.
Every great player is a great leader.
Yeah.
And here's what I mean by that. Like, I don't think Russell Westbrook is the kind of guy who's a rah-rah guy necessarily. And he certainly hogs the ball a lot when he's out there. So you can have questions whether or not you can win with a Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And they're fair, but it's different. Here's what I mean by every great player is a great leader. You cannot be great unless you dedicate yourself to the craft.
Yep.
Unless you show up early. Unless you stay late. The league is filled with too many good players. Every league is filled with too many good players that if you're going to stand head and shoulder above them, you have to work. And anybody who works sets a tone. You know, I always think, to your point, this idea of being vocal is overrated. There's a lot of shy, quiet people out there that express leadership, but in different ways. Yeah. You and I were always the sort of guys that would go into a room, and when we left, you would have heard from us.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't be quiet, and we wouldn't just leave. But not everybody's wired that way.
Yeah.
The world is programmed to think, oh, leadership, well, you know, you have to take charge. Not necessarily. What you have to do is you have to provide a standard by which everyone knows I'm not allowed to slip. If I work this hard, maybe I won't be that good, because I'm not as talented as the guy doing it. But I also know I'm going to be better than I am now.
Yep.
That, to me, is another form of leadership. And everything I've always heard about Kawhi is, and he couldn't be this great. He couldn't have turned himself, like, as much as we love the DeMar DeRozan story, you know, for
self-made all-star.
Think about where Kawhi was when he was with the Indiana Pacers. Did anybody see this happening? He must have worked his way to this.
Oh, there's all the stories of him, you know, just alone in a gym with like a lantern shooting shots. So, oh, yeah.
And that kind of mythology goes a long way.
It does.
Maybe more for the fans than the players. I don't know.
But it still shows.
Just think of Kobe after a playoff loss, staying in the gym till midnight.
Yeah.
In the visitors' arena.
Yeah. Confirmed with lawyers. What you really want is someone that is dedicated, hardworking, and good leadership. It kind of reminds me of Jeff Pollock. He is our lawyer. He should be your lawyer. You want someone to lead you through the murky waters of the law? Jeff Pollock is the guy. You want someone that's going to work extra hard? Jeff Pollock. Here's how you know Jeff Pollock works hard. He still sends emails and texts to Bob going, hey, Bob, when are you going to come here to do an important thing for not just you, but for your daughter?
Okay, hang on a second here. Yeah. I'm going to preempt this promo.
Okay.
I texted him and said, okay, I'm good to go next week. And he said he was on vacation.
Yeah, he's allowed to have a vacation.
I know.
He's a man.
Hang on, but don't make it sound like I never got back to him. I was good to go next week. He just happened to be on vacation.
Yeah, okay. So that time you got back to him. Jeff Pollock, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. jeffpollock.com, 416-777-0088. I'm just going to keep going through this after that. I'll shut up, Bob. 416-777-0088. Litigation, states, trust, commercial, corporate, real estate law, whatever you want. Jeff Pollock has got you handled.
All righty.
He's our Kawhi Leonard.
Do you want to just roll into Seat Giant, or do you want to do one of your rants here?
I used Seat Giant the other day.
Did you?
Yes, I used seatgiant.ca. I saved some money. And some of the money I saved will eventually go back to this podcast, which is good because podcasts are not free to do. But I'm going to a magic show. I'm taking my nephews for a Christmas gift. We're going to like the Champions of Magic.
Nice.
It's not cheap. Oh my God, I'm glad I'm not a parent.
Nothing is cheap.
Nothing is cheap. But you know what helps with that? A little discount. So you go to seatgiant.ca, use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout. You'll save some money. It's easy. I was able to do it. And all the money, all the charges, all the costs are in Canadian dollars. This is a Canadian owned and operated company. They guarantee they stand by the legitimacy of every ticket.
You wanted to talk about climate change.
I did.
All right. What are you thinking? Is this the White House report from the other day?
No.
That came out and said that there's severe economic backlash about to happen because of climate change?
Shut up. No, it's not that. Bob, it's me. Climate change, I want to talk about it through two things.
Okay.
South Park and wine.
Okay.
See the new episodes of South Park. They did a two-parter where they returned Al Gore, and they were able to skewer the left and the right, young and old, everyone on climate change. And they did it by never using the word climate change. They used the word man, bear, pig, this creature that goes around killing everyone that Al Gore warned you about. And the brilliant thing is, we haven't seen man, bear, pig in like 8 seasons, and they bring him back. And the whole point is, Al Gore's like, I warned you about this 8 years ago, but none of you listened. And he's like, I'm not going to help you. I'm just going to sit here and keep bowling. It is hilarious. Satan is involved. And at the very end, it is such a satisfying ending because it's not a, old white people, you've destroyed planet Earth. It's a very measured approach to all the things that we're all screwing up when it comes to climate change. It's not preachy. It's funny. Once again, South Park, they still got their fastball.
I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on the episode. Oh. But I know, like, you know, South Park's awesome. What I think's interesting about those two guys, Matt Stone and Trey Parker,
yeah,
is how they'll probably never get their due as like a great and brilliant comedy duo.
Yeah.
Like people don't talk about them in the same way they do the other hallowed creative teams mm-hmm. that are out there. But I think they've been just as successful. Part of it is because it's an animated show and people tend to look down on that.
Yeah.
And the other part is because all the Hollywood people that they skewer don't like them.
Yeah.
Right? And they have and they never stopped skewering, even when they became super duper billionaires.
Yeah. They don't fall.
Oh, wait. 1-800 number calling through.
There we go.
This is Giving Tuesday, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
I want to talk about that as soon as we're done here. Anyway, my point is simply Stone and Parker are getting ripped off because of the thin skin of the people who decide who's great and who isn't. And they laugh. They get laughed at. And so they lash out by not giving them their due.
Well, they're not part of the cool guy left wing Hollywood club.
Right.
So that's the problem.
And they're not part of the rich guy right wing club that says we're going to own everything and screw the worker.
Yeah, they're somewhere in the middle.
They're their own thing.
Their own thing. I'll give one great scene.
Kay.
It's in Red Lobster. And there's a booth, man, a husband and wife. And the husband is telling the wife that, you know, all the arguments he used to deny climate change, he's using all of them, but he's just replacing climate change with man, bear, pig. And then in the background, you could see man, bear, pig destroying the wall of Red Lobster and eating everyone in the Red Lobster. Horribly gruesome. And she's like, he's right behind you. He's like, listen, honey. And it's great. It's a fantastic bit.
I love that. The one thing I will say about climate change that I just don't get.
Yeah.
Is the way that certain people, climate deniers, whatever, on the right, I don't even want to make it about the right, just climate deniers in general.
Sure.
That you point to this study, oh, this is flawed. You point to that study, oh, that's not perfect. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like in your just simple, like lizard brain of common sense, do you think like pouring like millions and millions of metric tons of sludge into the ocean is going to have a good outcome?
No.
Like, if you just stop and think about it, right? Like, do you think, like, pouring tons of waste materials into landfills is going to be good or bad? Like, you could point at this study and that study and say, oh, this one isn't as accurate as it could be, or this group is. But, like, just in your gut, in your deepest heart of hearts, you're sitting there
when
and saying,
when no one is around and you're staring
sure
in the mirror.
I am sure the byproduct of manufacturing as it gets pumped back into the environment can't be bad. Do you really believe that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Sorry, that was my...
No.
I think I'm hallucinating.
Science is a weird thing. You know, sometimes the left want to deny science when we talk about the difference between men and women, and the right deny science when it comes to climate change. I remember when I was a kid, science was science. It wasn't... Anyway. But here is a way for climate change deniers.
Okay.
I was thinking about this.
How do we get onto climate change?
I recently...
Oh, because you wanted to talk South Park, right?
South Park, but another thing. Wine. I've been doing a bunch of interviews for my other wine podcast with a lot of winemakers. And they all independently, at some point we're talking about wine and what are you growing and things like that. They all independently bring up climate change. And they don't bring up left or right wing. They don't bring up agendas of CNN or Fox. You know what they bring up? Very simple thing. When they pick their grapes. You have to pick your grape when the grape has fully ripened. How does the grape fully ripen? When the sun and heat hits it. Every farmer, every winemaker I've talked to, they all pick 2-3 weeks earlier than what they did 20 years ago. And that is consistent every single year. And there's one reason for it. Everything is warmer and hotter. Maybe not every vintage, but 7 of 8 vintages, it's warmer than what it was 25, 30 years ago. There's a reason why you're making wine in southern England. There's a reason why, you know, it's harder to make certain white wines in northern Germany because everything's getting warmer. So you can deny it. You can do your politics. Just go ask farmers, when are you picking your grapes for wine?
That was a really good speech.
Yeah. So
can I throw? Can I add one more thing before we move on to football?
Yes.
I'm not sure the moon landing ever really happened.
But I hope it did.
I hope it did, but I'm not sure it really did.
You know what? I'm going to treat that like when a girl fakes an orgasm. I hope it was real, but if it's not, thank you for the effort for making me feel good by faking it. So for the moon landing, if it's not true, I don't want to know. I love the idea that it did happen. I thought First Man was fantastic. I love the right stuff. It's like a magician's trick. I don't want to know how you did it. I just want to go, woo.
Speaking of which, women fake orgasms?
Apparently. Not any of the ladies I've been with. Because let me tell you, when the girth monster comes to town, I'm like two middle fingers to Sting.
Man, pig, bear? What
man
was it?
Man, bear, pig.
Man, bear, pig.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, so let's talk a little football. This is going to be Cause on Football. Yep. Let's start off with the CFL, because even if you do it in a couple sentences, we might as well make note of the fact. I've just given up. I don't give a shit about the NFL or the CFL.
Oh.
All right. Calgary, are they a great team? Can you be one of three in the championship game in a 9-team league and go down in history as a great team?
Yes, because you're cherry picking. A year before that, they won the Grey Cup. They beat Hamilton 20-16. So they've won two Grey Cups in the last 5 or 6 years. Losing to Ottawa and Toronto was shameful because they were clear favorites. How they lost to Toronto was still a bleeping miracle.
Snow.
It just snow
and cleats.
100-yard touchdown reception, 109 fumble recovery touchdown. This team consistently cranks out 14, 15 win seasons. They're the best team. I'm glad they won because they deserve that validation.
It reminds me of when in Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns that Batman, the old man, has to fight the leader of the mutants who is young and stronger than him.
Yep.
And so he tricks him to fight him in a big mud pit. Mm-hmm. And he says, "You're a slow old man." He says, "We're knee deep in mud. Everyone's slow and knee-deep in mud."
Ooh.
And so that was his great equalizer. That was the Toronto-Calgary game.
Yep, yep.
They were in snow. Everyone starts at zero.
Yep.
Talent is erased
yep.
when you're playing in a blizzard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, next one. Who is better right now, Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers?
Russell Wilson. He also has had issues with offensive line and no Doug Baldwin. And he's younger. He's younger. He hasn't been hit as much. He's also one of the few, he's not even a scrambling quarterback. He is the right type of mobile quarterback who knows how not to get hit, who does it to buy time to get receivers open. Right now, Aaron Rodgers didn't look great against Minnesota. Not a lot of his fault. Doesn't have a lot of talent around him. But also, Aaron Rodgers is 35, 36 years old. Eventually, your skills, they start to go down.
Bills and Giants, who's more likely to finish with a higher record?
Probably the Bills. I imagine they have an easier schedule. They're in the AFC. And I heard a Cousin Sal and Bill Simmons were talking about it. The Giants are clearly tanking. Saquon Barkley had 5 touches in the second half against the Eagles, a game that they went into the half with the lead after Saquon Barkley had like 130 total yards in the first half. Giants are tanking.
Do you remember in the Rodney Dangerfield movie, Easy Money,
yep.
when they're at the track and they're betting on the trotters, mm-hmm. and the one that they picked, the guy is obviously crooked,
yeah.
and the rider is putting his feet on the ground so he can slow the horse up? That's what I feel like the Giants are doing right now.
Yep.
They're winning quick. Yep. Let's fix that.
Yep.
On the other hand, though, you know, the Bills do this to me every year. They do it to me every year. They suck so bad. And I'm like, well, finally, they'll be able to draft high and maybe get a wide receiver, someone to help out that, you know, that offense.
Yep.
And then they start winning. And you know what I did at the end of the Jags game, Matt?
Mm.
I pumped my fist.
Oh.
You know why I pumped my fist?
Why?
Because they've won.
Yeah.
They've beaten me. I know better. Didn't I tweet you? You and Gareth were going back. He's a Philly fan. You're a Giants fan.
Yeah.
You and Gareth Wheeler were tweeting each other. And didn't I say at least you're going to, like, we're going to wind up with a possession receiver because we're going to pick 11th.
He's going to run great routes, that receiver. You're going to get Bob.
Just the worst.
I'm glad Bob.
And Josh Allen looked pretty good.
I'm glad. And
he
I'm glad
looked
they
pretty
won
good.
Because bleep Jalen Ramsey and all the crap that Ramsey spoke about Josh Allen.
He really does need
which
a
always
shot
seemed
in the
weird.
Mouth.
Like, why are you shit talking a receiver that or a quarterback that hasn't even been drafted? But yeah,
calling him trash.
I know.
He hadn't even thrown a pass yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the Jags because maybe this is a 1B question to the one I just asked about the Giants and Bills. Were we right or very right when we said the Jags would regret extending Blake Bortles?
Very, very right. The biggest game of the year. They could have beat New England in the AFC Championship game, and they didn't let him throw the ball. You're not going to let your quarterback throw the ball, but you're going to extend him. How's that for stupid mixed messages?
They just fired Nathaniel Hackett. The offense is 28th in the league.
Yeah.
And Hackett, like, it's always amazing who winds up taking the fall for management's bad decisions.
Yeah.
Like, if you're an offensive coordinator and you have a quarterback who can't play, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
They hit it pretty well last year. But everybody's out there doing their best to beat you every single Sunday.
Yeah.
How long can you hide the single greatest flaw you can have on a football team?
Yeah. And they hit as long as they could. They couldn't Bob Hackett.
No, yes. Nicely done. Yes. That was good. Okay, final one as cause on the NFL here. More likely team to upset the big boys in the playoffs, the Chicago Bears or the Houston Texans?
I'm going to go with the Houston Texans, even though I think they're frauds, strictly because I think Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback right now
than Mitch Trubisky.
I know Trubisky, that 1-6 touchdown game, but if you're going to upset the big boy, quarterback's got to go nuts. We saw Deshaun Watson. We've seen him do it from time to time, most famously last year against a very good Seattle defense. So I will go with the Houston Texans.
Chicago's a really interesting team to me, not in terms of what's on the field, but in terms of what their legacy means. Mm-hmm. They are one of a few legacy teams. Green Bay is one of them.
Yep.
The Giants are one. You know,
yeah,
Redskins, Eagles, like, you know, Dallas Cowboys, obviously, San Francisco 49ers. There's, like, say, a pick of, like, 8 or 9 teams that, no matter who they field from year to year, you're kind of paying attention to them because you've always paid attention to them.
Yep.
And the Bears are that team. But that's the power of that 85 team the Bears had. Like, for our generation.
Oh, yeah.
There's, I don't know how the younger generation views this, but for us, it was such a big deal. I mean, you know, the Bengals with Icky Woods, that was a lot of fun. Those Montana teams were awfully great.
They weren't on MTV. The Bears were on MTV.
They were the Bo Jackson of teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, since then, the Bears have had some good teams and some bad teams, whatever. You know, they had Brian Urlacher, one of the great defensive players in modern history. Like, there's been reasons to cheer for him.
Yeah.
But really, it's 85.
Yeah.
I think of my dear friend James Sobalski, whom I used to do a radio show with, and he loves the Bears because he got into that team.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. It's like, but this is 23 years later.
William the Refrigerator Perry had an action figure that they would market with G.I. Joe. Like, at the time in 85, when there was no internet and 3 channels, the Bears could dominate pop culture in a way that you can't get in sports now.
Has there ever been a single team, has there ever been a single team that has left a more lasting impression on its sport than the 1985 Bears?
Oh, Bob, we've got 5 minutes. We got to save that.
Okay.
Save that question because you want to get to Giving Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. Why don't we, I do. And also, I'm off to BC.
You're packing. What's your packing story? We got like 6 minutes. I'll shut the hell up.
Okay, so I'm packing now. Like, today, I'm leaving Thursday for my trip. I'm leaving Thursday morning, so there's no time to do anything on Thursday. So I'm now 48 hours out, and I've officially started my packing. The suitcases come up from the basement, and I called my mom called me today and asked if I needed help because she likes to pack 2 weeks before she goes somewhere. And it got me to thinking, when is the right time to bring out the suitcase for when you have to go on a trip that lasts, and we'll say for argument's sake, 4 days or more? A trip that you actually have to pack for.
24 hours.
24 hours?
Do you got your passport?
I do.
24 hours.
I think it's 48 hours. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because you have 1 day for your clothes and another day for miscellaneous. Because if you leave it for 24 hours, that 24-hour window becomes almost exclusively dedicated to getting you ready for the next day.
How long does it take for you to pack?
But you need stuff.
What do you
got to go to Shoppers. What if you don't have one of those little toothpastes?
I don't have children. I have more free time.
Well, this is just me. I'm the only one going.
Yeah.
I'm packing for myself.
You're packing for yourself?
I'm a single-serving meal here.
Okay. Like, unless you're hanging out with Laura Croft and Indiana Jones, you know, 24 hours. You throw some clothes in a bag, you get some toothbrush, you go. The Shoppers Drug Mart's 2 minutes from your house.
I know, but to walk there, get your stuff, and come back, that's like a full half an hour to 40 minutes.
All right. To me, I take no time at all to pack.
I know, but that's also because you're anal and you're obsessed with efficiency, so everything is almost packed already.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
like, you
true.
Literally just have to open up. Like, you're like Batman's utility belt.
Yeah.
right? Like you've got everything compartmentalized and stored. Mm-hmm. But for those of us who live like what I refer to as people,
yeah,
you have to find stuff.
You do. You do have to find
stuff. Do you know where everything is in your house?
Of course.
Not of course. Nobody knows where stuff is in their house.
Yeah, I know where everything is.
Do you know where everything is?
I know where everything of mine is. Can't speak about Amy. She's a bleeping tornado.
Have you ever had to find something because you didn't know where it is?
Yeah, and that's because Amy moved it.
Okay, but yeah. Like on your own?
Yeah, from time to time. I am a human being, just not as much as the average person.
Okay.
You got a minute and a half.
All right. Well, I'm not going to get into Giving Tuesday, except to say one thing. Yeah. I appreciate the idea, but and maybe this is unrelated to it, but the idea is after Black, like Cyber Monday, Black yeah. Friday, Black Monday, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be a day where you dedicate yourself to charity. Mm-hmm. Five straight emails this morning. LA Review of Books, Six Kids, Art Gallery of Ontario, the Aga Khan Museum, and yep. Cycle Toronto, all asking for cash. Mm-hmm. Five straight emails this morning. That's not going to work. So to whoever who organized this, like I support all of those groups, but then I just got mad.
Yeah.
Because five straight emails this morning were people saying, can you give?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes me a bad person, but it made me think like the way you present things is important. And I should not have to feel shamed because I didn't re-support all the groups I supported and get pummeled in rapid succession with requests.
By the way, if you want to donate, the Hope for Help at hopeforhelp.ca, the charity trivia night is coming up this weekend, which you have gone to in the past.
I have. It's a fun night.
Yeah, and you've donated your time and money. So I don't even need to ask you this time because you've done it in the past.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Bye, Bob. Happy 101st.
Happy Dalmatian Day. Chica.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.